City Talk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9.
Good morning and welcome to City Talk's Business with Frank McKenna. My name's Roger Jonas and I'm the events manager for Downtown in Business, and I'll be standing in for Frank this morning as he's still trying to get out of the mirror-lined lobby at Downtown Water Street's office. Today we're going to be talking about the disastrous demise of the Liverpool Boat Show and look at how best we can minimise its economic impact on the city. We're also going to be discussing a new music festival described as the first of its kind for Southport that will be taking place on the 8th and 9th of July. And our final talking point today will focus on health and safety, the issue that rears its head more often than not these days and is an obvious consideration at any large-scale event. I'm joined in the studio by three guests. Firstly, Councillor Wendy Simon from Culture Liverpool, Mark Cunningham, the Festival Director from Southport Rocks, and by pure coincidence, we're joined by Mark's brother, who's a health and safety specialist with Storm Consultancy, Jonathan Cunningham. Welcome, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Wendy, I'm going to come to you first. It's on everybody's lips at the moment. Everybody's talking about it, the demise of the boat show. Can you sort of give us a little bit of update on the whys and wherefore, why it's been cancelled and basically what's in place to look at replacing it?
Of course, Roger, and it's not all doom and gloom. Obviously, we were devastated when we heard earlier the week that the events organisers were having to pull out of this year's inaugural boat show in Liverpool. Their reason for doing that, that they said to us, was that because it was the inaugural boat show and the feedback that they'd had from customers at the London Boat Show, that they suddenly last minute received a lot of cancellations from the marine industry, particularly those who were selling vessels, really. So that they felt that if it went ahead and it was quite a poor turnout after the, you know, the PR that had gone, then it may actually ruin the future success of a boat show, which people, when they came to the pre-publicity events, were, you know, reckoning it was going to be one of the best ever, and they wanted to save the integrity of the city and the integrity of a future boat show. So that was their reason for cancelling it.
I mean, there's already been a mass amount of spend in terms of development down on the Albert Dock, isn't there?
There certainly have. I mean, a lot of individuals have put a lot of their own money, private businesses, into this, obviously, to not just to promote the event, but to prepare for it.
Or investment?
Yeah, sponsorship with the company, organisation of regattas, boat sales people who were planning to come, obviously putting orders in and stuff like that. But the money that the City Council has spent was mainly on infrastructure around the docks for the pontoons, for the floating stage and stuff like that. So that is money that will constantly be used for future events, because, as you know, we're planning on a number of river events in our events programme for this year, the opening of the museum on the waterfront, and later in the year we have our own river festival. So sort of the money that we have spent was not just for that itself.
You know, let's face it, the Liverpool is quite unique in some ways in terms of its waterfront. I think there are very few cities that can boast the kind of waterfront that Liverpool has. And with the kind of forward thinking and looking towards the waterfront, the growth of the waterfront, the idea of developing it as a tourist site, as a port, potentially even a cruise liner terminal where the cruises start and finish here. There is, and I can't think of any other city that has that kind of waterfront that we're so lucky to have. What do you think, do you think there is a future for the boat show? I know there's been a lot of press saying that London Boat Show was a disaster. The current climate doesn't lend itself to hosting an event, hence the reason they've pulled it. Are there guarantees that the Liverpool Boat Show is going to happen again in Liverpool?
I mean, I think for particularly local businesses, and by local, I mean, you know, the northwest region and the north in the whole, there was tremendous appetite for this boat show. Mm. There were a lot of boat owners, a lot of boat enthusiasts, you know, across, you know, northern cities who were really excited about this show. I mean, the people who visited and came up to Liverpool, you know, for the pre-event stuff to look at the site, look what would be on offer, were absolutely blown away. They thought it was a fantastic site. It was from their feedback, you know, where people were saying the amount of visitors that would be anticipated, you know, 300,000 were quoted. They just knew it was going to be amazing. And they just said, you know, what you've got, because you've got the city so close, you've got the river, you've got this fantastic UNESCO World Heritage Site, boosts all those things. So I think it is definitely something that will take place once the market picks up. I think there's appetites from lots of companies who do see the potential now. And I don't think all's lost. I mean, we'll come on to that in a minute, I'm sure. But there's still going to be a whole range of events that will take place on the waterfront from the 29th of April until the 8th of May. So although the commercial side and the boat show in that sense has been lost, certainly a lot of the other events planned will be going ahead and more.
I think people don't realise the amount of work that's already gone in pre the boat show to developing the infrastructure of it. I mean, I know for a fact that the marine industry events, who were the lead, who were bringing the boat show to Liverpool, have brought more than 300 marine businesses and marine specialists to Liverpool. And this has obviously inspired people. Potentially the first time they may have been to have a look at the potential for what Liverpool has to offer, which I think, and again, we've spoken about the waterfront, we've spoken the Albert Dock with the pontoons. I think there were almost £1 million worth of investment made in the floating pontoons. I mean, that's some pretty heavyweight investment to make. So, you know, I think it is going to have to be a question of watch this space. One thing that I'm keen to discuss, Max Steinberg has said that who's the chief executive of Liverpool Vision, he said that we need a quick response in order to mitigate the economic impact on the city. And I think one thing, if Liverpool can do things, it's respond quickly. Can you tell us a little bit about, I mean, Joe Anderson's called a meeting for tomorrow, Monday, I believe.
He has, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and who will be there and the kind of agenda that will be discussed?
Of course, following the announcement, the very next day, Joe called myself, the head of culture, Max Steinberg. We sat down, had a meeting and looked. Judith Feather, our head of events, who's been coordinating a lot of the events side of the programme at the waterfront, to say, you know, what can we salvage from this? Obviously, a lot of local businesses, a lot of hotels, a lot of people in the maritime industry have invested a lot themselves in preparation for this. And we certainly, so from sort of early this week, people have already been putting together a programme that's still going to be really exciting across that time. We've still got confirmed activities. We've got a number of tall ships that have confirmed they will still be coming. And we've also got the Liverpool Kindred Club's Regatta, which will take place from the 30th of May to 30th of April, sorry, to the 2nd of May. We've also got the Royal Mersey Regatta on the 7th of 8th of May. We've got dinghy clubs. We've got West Kirby Sailing Club, a narrowboat rally. You know, the list is endless. The Royal Navy are coming. There's a restaurant canal boat that's been confirmed that will be in the dock, which will be a novelty for people. And over 30 people were in Liverpool Yacht Club last Wednesday, from North Wales right up to the Fylde coast, and all are determined to continue with their plans that they'd already done. So there's a real sort of commitment here.
I mean,
so
that's fantastic, isn't it? You know,
We're hoping as many people who are involved in the maritime industry will come along, and that collectively we can put on a great events programme. And who knows, some of those businesses may want to have their own mini show, in a sense.
It's almost like a big society, isn't it?
We are the big society.
Hey, listen, I don't want to sort of digress too much onto that, but I challenge David Cameron. He should have come here 800 years ago and realised that Liverpool's had a big society for 800 years. So, Let's not go there, though.
I think it's a great example how the private sector and the public sector can work really closely together in partnership with each other. And we all are committed to the best for this city and the city region, in bringing business, in bringing great events, in bringing tourists to our city. And that's what it's all about. And I think people do just want to sit down, get together and work collectively. Money's tight for everybody, and people are just really now, I think, coming together in all sorts of areas. And this is a great example. Very early on, it could have just been cancelled, but people say no.
Liverpool's not a city to cancel things, is it?
We're certainly not.
We do get off our backsides and get things done. I mean, again, you talk about the public and private sector working together, and Joe Anderson's been very, very keen since he took leadership to unite with the business community and to make Liverpool work as a city by engaging. And I think I think he's already proved himself really by upholding that promise. There is going to be a massive, massive economic impact on the city because of the cancellation of the boat show as is. So we've now got to look at initiatives to put in place. It seems that there are a whole tranche of events that are going to take place. We've through downtown, and we work very closely with some of the hotels and the restaurants and the bars, and there is a sense of sadness. I think one of the fears is the economic impact. Will you be working closely with the hoteliers, with the bars, with the restaurants?
Oh, definitely. All these people will be invited to the summit. There's also there was a meeting held last Friday. With some of these people that was held at the Maritime Museum, where all stakeholders involved, from the Comedy Festival, who moved their dates to align with the boat show, was another, to local businesses, to the restaurants, to the tenants of the Albert Dock, a whole range of businesses who have all met on Friday to look at what they could do, and their views will be coming to the summit tomorrow as well.
I mean, one of my first fears was, I'm quite heavily involved with Liverpool Vision and with Joe having delivered the Liverpool Embassy, and the outcome of that is two investment days where we're going to be inviting potential investors to the city, and the boat show, if you like, was the hub. It was the showcase and what was really going to show the city off. And I think if anything, that's justify alone to make sure that something credible and something that is really going to showcase the city takes place during the time that was allocated for the boat show. So, I mean, we can only look at it positively, and I think we have all got to be positive. I'm really excited now to see how the city responds, and I don't just mean the public sector. I mean the public sector, the private sector. They work together, and let's see if we can resurrect something,
Definitely.
Out of this.
I mean, the private sector have been fantastic. They've been ringing us. They've been saying, what can we do? They've heard about the summit. They've all rallied around together, through their own contacts they've got together. There's also the Shanty Festival is going to continue across that time. I've got a whole list. We could spend the whole programme saying about the events, and it will come out shortly following Monday. There will be a whole programme of things. And I think for anybody thinking to invest in the city, we are a can-do city. Yeah. We are a city that's moving on, and we are a city that will respond to the business needs of that organisation, and we will work in partnership. And this is a very clear example where everybody said, well, we can't help what's happened. In respect of, if these companies have pulled out at the last minute, because of financial difficulties, certainly we will make sure the show does go on. It'll go on in a different way, but that it will still attract a whole host of people who will come into the city, because the maritime industry has its own connections. And I still think we will get a significant amount of people coming into Liverpool, particularly, when the tall ships are in, that draws crowds. People love the river. And I think, although we may not get quite the same amount of numbers because of the commercial aspect
of
the boat show, I think we will still be hitting the thousands. And
I think once the programme is put together, it's then about how it's marketed.
Definitely.
And I think Liverpool are pretty good at shouting from the treetops about the initiatives that go on in the city. And again, we talked at the beginning about the value of the waterfront. We've still got the On the Waterfront and the River Festival.
Yeah, and the On the Waterfront will coincide with the opening, you know, of the new Museum of Liverpool, which is, you know, fantastic. So there's
put you on
be
the spot. When is that?
It's July.
That's in July.
In July. And then the River Festival itself is in September. So for those businesses that are there, we are trying to have a coordinated approach to draw more people back to the riverfront. Yeah. You know, it looks fantastic now, you know, from beyond the Alba Dock, from the marina right down to the cruise liners. It's, you know, and it's getting people to get used to going back down there. I mean, it was a regular haunt when we had the bus terminals there, you know.
Yes.
People would just go and wander along. And I think sort of last year when we had the On the Waterfront, some of the comments were, gosh, I hadn't been down here for years, particularly for local people. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realise how much it had changed. So, and to get those national and international visitors. We've got Liverpool Discovers at the moment, which is taking place in the city, and the international press that we've had on that is fantastic. Yeah. So our events do get worldwide press as well as national. So that is good as well, because it does encourage people to come when they see the quality of events that we put on in the city.
And it's the first River Festival since 2005, I think, isn't it?
It is. And it was something Joe, as leader, was really keen, being an ex-seaman himself.
Of course,
you know,
yeah.
Lots of people in Liverpool have a connection to the river, to the sea. And it's really important as part of our heritage and part of our culture to celebrate all aspects, you know, of the sea. And I think the River Mersey Festival does that.
Well, I think, you know, whatever happens, I'm certainly going to be there because, you know, it's... I mean, I hate water, to be honest. I fear the bath. But there is a certain draw about water, isn't there? And I think it's exciting when you see the kind of events that are going to take place. And I think it's something to really look forward to. And it needs supporting, you know. And this is where I think Liverpudlians, Scousers, whatever you want to call them, really rally together and so I think it's a question of watch this space, isn't it? Let's keep our eye in the media and see what decisions are made and the outcome of the meeting tomorrow with Joe and Vision and Culture Liverpool. And let's keep our fingers crossed that we can resurrect something out of the ashes.
I think the whole sort of attitude has got to be that something has got to be resurrected. And in terms of the approach now, it's got to be first, let's not too long be licking our wounds on this.
Absolutely.
And that's not the way Liverpool does things anyway. So, you know, let's move on, let's move ahead. Let's be completely and utterly positive about this.
Okay.
And sort of leadership. And finally, sort of, that's the lessons identified in terms
Absolutely.
Of the business continuity. That's
talking about moving on. Beautifully brought in there, Jonathan. let's move over to your brother. I hope you get on well. I hope we're not going to have any battles here in the studio.
Well, he told me
studio.
Last night, he said, I'm on the show with you. I said, are you sure? He goes, yeah. He said, stand by for a bit of sibling rivalry.
We'll judge later who's the better looking, hey, Wendy? Right, well, Mark. Southport Rocks. This all sounds very with it and in the groove. Tell us a little bit about Southport Rocks.
Well, Southport Rocks is a music festival. First and foremost, it's a family music festival that previously we piggybacked on the Sefton Summer Classics, which has you know, sadly at this stage has been cancelled for this year once again due to the economic climate. We took a decision. I work for a charity called the Vital Sounds Foundation. I'm the director of the charity, and we promote health and well-being, you know, particularly in the decade of health and well-being within Merseyside. And we're promoting heart screening for 16 to 30 year olds. A very long story short, this all started when an ex-Liverpool football player, a chap called Steve Hoare, his lad was 25, he was Chris. Chris was working at Edgehill University as a student. He had a Saturday job in Southport and he just dropped dead from an undiagnosed heart condition.
And how old was he?
He was 25, played football, horrendous. Didn't drink, didn't smoke. You know, fit as a flea, went out running cross country, but you know, sadly just dropped dead. It is a condition that can be screened, and through very simple lifestyle changes or miniature defibrillators or pacemakers, You can change 90% of people screened.
Okay, right. Well, that wasn't what I was expecting.
So that's the background of the festival. But you take a message of doom and gloom, and
you turn it into...
You take it to 16-year-olds and you say, do you want to talk about possibility of dying? And they say, no, thank you, I'm just listening to my iPod. And that's the end of it.
Okay.
So message delivery, music festival, very hip, very with it. Fortunately, I'm not on the band selection. They've chose some fantastic bands, I'm told, and I think Status Quo is brilliant, but sadly they're not going to be on the on
so Southport Rocks. It's a music festival. It's kind of celebrating, and there's a distinct message to be put out there. Mini Glastonbury, would you say?
Well, we've run it for 2 years in conjunction with Sefton Council at the end of the Summer Classics on the Sunday. We've now moved and we've stepped out of the shadow of Sefton, and we're now a standalone organisation. The festival used to be called Jedi Music Festival, and that's nothing to do with Star Wars. Chris's religion was Jedi. He didn't have one, so on the last census, and he put Jedi, and that's where the Star Wars connection ends.
You said he didn't smoke?
We've got a marketing company who are members of Downtown and Agent Marketing, and they said, look, every time you mention Jedi Music Festival, first thing you do is got to explain it's nothing to do with Star Wars. So you're missing the point here. I think we need to rebrand. And we've got a fantastic support on Victoria Park, which is a beautiful Victorian park that's 100 years old now, and it's superb, and we host it there. It's a two-day event, family orientated, three stages. We've got about 25 bands, and we are a single organization. Our primary objective is awareness of sudden adult death syndrome.
So this is it's not for profit.
Absolutely not for profit. All money goes back into screening, and we're in partnership with Merseyside Fire and Rescue and John Moores University. And we've gone into, we've got 4 days lined up this year of heart screening for approximately about 120. We're aiming at 16 to 18-year-olds.
Hmm.
It's easier to, control, sounds very dictatorial and dictatorship, but within the education system so we can get hold of them, or a lot of the other, like Sure Start units within the Liverpool area, based at John Moores University. So this is our pièce de résistance. This festival is really our celebration throughout the whole year of all of our activities and how we can actually get our message out there. But first and foremost, it's a fantastic music festival. You know, going back to the boat not being there, the boat show not being there, but it is there, and we meet so many connections with Merseyside. Merseyside people, they're in the core of them. Yeah, they do need to be challenged. I think they need to be coaxed out. But when they come out fighting and they pull together, both commercially and with the council, there's no other team I'd rather be on that actually can pull it together and bring it back. Mm. And that's really we've started up running a music festival in today's financial climate is difficult. But the support we're getting is absolutely fantastic, and the inclusion, Merseyside Fire and Rescue. Have been superb with us as a partner, as a resource partner, and we're really going places. We're expecting anything from about 7 to 10,000 this year. And for a charity, a music festival that is essentially run by volunteers, we've got ex-Merseyside Fire and Rescue project manager that did the World Firefighting Games in 2008. Yeah. And he's the Dave Robinson is the project leader. And everybody else is volunteers.
Absolutely. I mean, it's fantastic. We Liverpool is and is great for that. It looks Southport is also throwing its hand in here and pulling the stops out. Why Southport? Just explain again why Southport.
Southport Rocks. We needed to look at a location that essentially the Victoria Park. Dave Jackson, who's the chief exec of the Southport Flower Show, is one of our resource partners and provides us with the park for free.
Brilliant.
The actual just You know, you talk about event management and you talk about the boat show. These were concept ideas 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah. And I think people don't realise the amount of effort and time that goes into an event just to fruition. Mm. So we've been working for the last 4 years to get to this point. And so it to have the pool plugged on a on a section of the actual boat show itself is, you know, horrendous, but it hasn't gone. It's still there.
Yes.
And I think media are putting the spin that it's completely zipped off the face.
Well, they're
of the
going
earth,
to do that,
hasn't.
Aren't they? Because, you know, the full
story
is not out. It is a good
story.
It'll
sell the paper, and that's what they've got to do.
Perhaps after the show today and the summit tomorrow,
yeah,
it'll be boat show saved.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
Hopefully in the media.
The spin will be, look at how, you know, we pulled it back together, both commercially and the city council have pulled it together, and we're still going to have a boat show. You'll be surprised how many people will step in out of the shadows and step forward and say, right, we can
I'm
do
never
that.
Surprised here. Yeah. I'm never surprised. You know, I was very disappointed, shocked almost, to hear about the boat show, but I'm not surprised to see that actually something is being done and we're moving quickly on it. Just again, your target market, if you like music, the festival's for you, I guess.
Absolutely. We've got Lancashire Hot Pots on the Friday night, which those if Scousers want to have a laugh at Lancashire people, they do a fantastic I want my Friday night chippy tea. They're superb. No, it's good fun.
In terms of the lineup, can you reveal anything at this stage?
They've deliberately kept me in the dark about the lineup. I know they're releasing the headline act tomorrow or Monday, so that will come out. I've been as far away from band selection as possible. I think
is that because you're old and not with it?
It's for the success of the festival. Yeah, it was, yeah. Keep me away from that, but. Family day, obstacle courses, there will be an event. We're either going to have a 1,000-foot zip line that's there. We've got market stalls from the local community, and they're all actually taking a pitch. We've got camping.
I was going to say, I know, I've heard about this camping. Yeah. Isn't there something you can camp in style?
It's called glamping.
Glamping.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
It's camping with style. It's camping with beds, and somebody sets it up for you. We've got some of our corporates that are getting involved. I've taken some of our corporate spaces, and they can house up to 8 in there.
Wow.
Some of our corporate packages they're having their guests over the whole weekend, but the actual team is glamping it up on site. So what state they'll be in? There is showers there, but whether they have to
say,
use them. They
eight
have to use the showers.
Great way to get people to stay for the whole festival. Right?
It is. I mean, for Southport, it was. You know, Southport has the air show. It has, you know, like Liverpool, and Sefton Council does a huge amount to actually bring the people in. And once again, the commercial sector really steps up to the mark. And that's really important, that the amount of people that we will bring in over that weekend is just nudging on about 10,000. 10,000 people, lots of restaurants. You know, Lord Street was modelled on the Champs-Élysées in France. So they've got lots of bistros. It's really good. And that brings money into the environment, into the local community. And that's where it's got to be. You've got to pull together these challenging times financially. This is where we've got to pull together. And
it sounds like great fun. And, you know, I'm big into my music festivals, so I'll certainly be making a visit there. Again, referring back to the whole lifestyle thing, I know that you a lot of your stalls there are going to be promoting healthy living and that kind of thing. And I guess that's part and parcel of the message that you're trying to put out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are a music festival. You know, it is come along, enjoy the actual weekend camp. But there is a message, the underlying message, which is it is deliberate, it is subliminal. We're not going to ram it down your throat and you've got to do this, you've got to change your life overnight. It's small changes, you know, just watching what you eat, what type of foods you eat. A jacket potato is much better than you know, dare I say it, a fast food restaurant burger. Mm-hmm. And it's looking at that aspect of you do have choices and you can dictate what your lifetime will be within 30 years, 40 years. There's no magic pills. There's nothing that will suddenly 2 stone of weight will drop off. Yeah, yeah. It's lifestyle and you've got to adopt that different...
Jonathan's brought the cakes. He's brought today. Cakes while we take our little break.
No calories and cakes on a Sunday.
Will there be stalls there giving people advice and and information about the charity?
Absolutely. We're on the actual day. We're signing up for heart screenings. The whole purpose of the funds that are raised on the day goes to heart screening. To run one day is approximately £5,000 to £6,000, and that's where the money goes. So people that we have an organisation that has no overheads in relation to very, very little expenditure, that's where the money goes, and that's what the whole purpose is for.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like amazing fun. Just give us the dates again.
It's on the weekend of the 8th and 9th of July, 2-day event, lots of camping. See you there.
Fantastic. Well, I'll certainly be there, and I hope you will too, Wendy. I'd love to see you in one of the tents there in the showers. OK, we'll be straight back after this.
Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9.
Well, welcome back. I'm going to have to backpedal slightly here. My guests, including Councillor Wendy Simon, fell about laughing due to my last comment as we went into the break about seeing her camping in the showers, and I'd backpedal like hell I'm going to. Councillor Wendy, would you not agree, gentlemen? She looks like the type who would go 5-star and not camping.
She's definitely a glamper.
I couldn't imagine.
Definitely a glamper.
I couldn't imagine a roughing
ensuite.
It.
Ensuite facilities.
Come see me in the showers, Roger.
But apparently, you're all right. But apparently, Wendy actually does like camping. So, and it was nothing to do with seeing Wendy in the showers. I'm doing it again, and I'm going to move
I'd
on.
Stop digging,
right.
Roger. Okay. Really, quit while you're ahead.
Health and safety. Let's move on to that. Scintillating.
Slippage in the
shower.
Oh, wow.
Don't slip in the showers. That's the important thing. Right, I've gone all red now. Look, there's a very serious thing to health and safety, isn't it? And you know, one of the reasons why we've asked Jonathan to come in today is to discuss some of the issues that surround not only big events, but also...
Not particularly just big events. I mean,
health and safety in general. I'm going to be a bit devil's advocate here. Your company is called Storm Consultancy.
Storm, that's right.
And you're a specialist in everything safe and healthy. Just give us a little bit of background to you and the company, and tell her, hold my hand up, because I know you talk more than your brother.
Well, thanks for that. The background to you, or my background, is 16 years in the forces. I was in the infantry for a number of years and deployed to most operational theatres, 3.5 years in Northern Ireland, a long time in Iraq, and then sort of finished my days sort of working 2 years in Whitehall, then working here as Chief of Staff of Force 2 Brigade, which is the army across the northwest.
I feel like saluting
and,
almost, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, in the shower.
Oh, I'm not going to live that down, am I? Yeah. It'd be you're now going to be known as Captain Mannering, all right?
So that's the... I came out then, jumped into the NHS. I was Regional Director of Diagnostics for Wirral. And that was an interesting excursion because I lasted all of 4 months before resigning. And it was not for me. Culturally, it just wasn't for me. And then set up Storm. And Storm provides compliance to business. So we go in to help. And so everything from environmental, asbestos, health and safety, business continuity and emergency planning. And in a relatively short period, we secured some very proud contracts with some very large events, particularly on the events sector. So Southport Flower Show, Southport Air Show, the British Firework Championships, Jedi Festival, as was, and now Southport Rocks and a number of other festivals around the region. And there is certainly a challenge to health and safety when you are dealing with so many people so many sort of complexities. But actually, just like everything in health and safety, it's just complete common sense.
That's going to be one of my comebacks here, because, you know, quite often I get really irritated by the fact that, you know, people maintain we're now living in a litigious society where there's blame, there's a claim and all of that rubbish. And you know, I'm wondering if it's more propaganda with the businesses who are out there to instigate these claims and stuff. I mean, is it as bad out there as people believe, or the media will have us believe?
It's not good. I've got to say, it's not good. And I say that from both sides of the fence. I mean, first and foremost, Lord Young was commissioned by David Cameron last year to look into this whole culture, the health and safety culture, which was being perceived as sort of stifling business. And my goodness, it was. And it still to this day stifles business. And he came from it from two approaches, which was, again, just complete common sense. First, he tackled the claims culture, which also sort of drives the whole health and safety beast as well. And then he also looked at this health and safety, how bureaucratic it was and whether or not it required to be bureaucratic. And it became so because there were people who were going on a two-day course, effectively, small little courses. There was no requirement to be registered. There was no requirement to pass any sort of certification. But Roger, you know, you could start yourself at the moment in the current climate as a fully fledged consultant in health and safety because you feel you're competent, you feel you can go out there and give some good advice. There was nothing previously to stop you doing that. Not at all. So as long
it's
as
quite horrific, really, when you think of what you do. I mean, I know, you know, I've been working in the theatre, which is a very dangerous environment. You know, you've got workshops and electric tools and things flying in, electricity, high power electricity, high voltage electricity, trips and falls. And I mean, one of the funniest things I ever saw was a Liverpool comedian, actually, who was there, and he was a proper diva. You know, where's my dressing room and all this? And the golden rule in theatre is stand still when the lights go out. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, not him. Lights go to blackout. What do we... Boom! Oh, God! And he fell off the stage. Now, I'm not being funny. He'd spent all day being a diva, and there were quite a few people, including myself, I have to say, who felt it was quite like relief moment. Even when he came round, he was demanding brandy, you know. Common sense prevailed. And he caused murder over it. Absolute murder. Now, he was more or less told in so many words, I mean, this was back in the day, to off you go, we're not going to listen to you. But it doesn't happen like that these days. You know, Frank McKenna gets a paper cut in somebody else's office and that's it. You know, the claim goes in.
Good old Frank.
But it kind of feels as though it's getting to that. Has it not gone too far?
No, it's actually, thankfully, the Young report, when it came out and published, so back end of last year, basically just said, right, we've got to stop. It's back to common sense. We've got to try and help business. So businesses, which previously you'd had to have a risk assessment for, like, a classroom environment, for an office environment, and these are real low-risk environments. Mm. Not an awful lot's going to happen. Mm. There are people who are there during the day, and it's not sort of silent hours doing that. So, you know, high activity or high-risk activities weren't being conducted there. And so now you can do an online assessment, which is a fantastic tool by the HSE. There is a lot. I've got to say, the HSE website is absolutely fantastic. A fantastic
people
resource.
See the HSE as demons, don't they? Really, I think
they do. They've got a job to do, and you know, I don't think it's unreasonable as anyone else. You know, you can go. You should go to expect to go to work and actually come back safe and in one piece. And you know, it's only not a million miles away. Certainly in Knowsley. You know, recently we had the most horrific accident and fatalities of two young guys who were in a machine when it got switched on. Now, what I would say, Roger, is that, you know, I'm going around to businesses, both low risk and also high risk, and there are the most bizarre and amazing things that you couldn't even possibly imagine still go on. There are still businesses out there that are high risk. There are still owners and proprietors who do not put any of the health and safety, even though you assume that in today's society we've got it all in place. My goodness, it's not in place at all. So from fire to falls from heights to, you know, working with a company at the moment, they suffered a fatality last year from falls from height, young 19-year-old. And this is not an uncommon story.
It's preventable, isn't it?
Completely preventable.
There's been a lot reported in the press lately, hasn't there, the last 12 months of significant sort of incidents.
I mean, I guess, Wendy, you work with a lot of crowds in terms of some of the events that you're dealing with. You've got to take health and safety very, very, very seriously.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we have to have, obviously, each event we have has to be risk assessed. You have to look at, not just your policing matters, but, you have to provide for any emergencies, also to make sure, people are safe while they're there and also while they're travelling there. That's why quite often with events you have to have road closures and that there are various, numbers to certain events that then becomes a massive event. And, you have to have meetings with the police, with the fire service, the ambulance service. All those things need to be taken into account. As was said before, it's not just an event just doesn't happen overnight. There is a lot of planning. In that, you've got to have your public liability insurance.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, I think
there
are two aspects, as you said before. There are making sure the public are safe, and then again, for your workers, so making sure any stewards that you've got are properly trained.
Because I think the thing, and again, at Downtown, we do a lot of events. The majority are so low risk that the risk assessment takes place more or less in your head, to be honest. We're in somebody else's office or a venue space that we use regularly. So you kind of know, but your team is always alert. They're always on the ball looking for hazards or potential hazards. And I guess that, we are pretty on the ball when it comes to things like that. But I bet you meet in your day-to-day life, Jonathan, people who just are clueless in terms of the risks.
I've got to say, the vast majority are completely and utterly on the ball.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah. No,
I'm surprised about that.
The vast majority. And I think people think that some health and safety consultant's going to come in and they're going to be identifying hazards that they had absolutely no idea about. Generally, 9 times out of 10, you, I, Wendy, Mark, you will identify the hazards as I would identify the hazards. It's all common sense. The only difference is there's been now a market which has been built up over certainly the last decade of people coming in, making it a black art, and then for turning it into a big money-making machine.
Yeah.
So they will come in, they will first, and the tactic is all the same, they will first scaremonger. They'll tell you, they'll scare the living daylights out of you. They'll then dress it up to be something overly complex. So they'll throw a lot of legislation at you and this and acts at you. Well, anyone can do that. But at the end of the day, it's all complete common sense.
But do you not think the media have played their part in that? With this whole litigious thing.
Oh, they have. I mean, Elf and Safety and all that. And you always get, particularly at Christmas time, about sort of Christmas trees which have been banned from public areas because, you'll always hear that. And there's a great, health and safety consultant, the whole health and safety agenda has always been, suffered a terrible reputation.
Health and safety executive of, because I've been on there specifically looking when we were running the festival, and what's comical, they have Myth of the Week. And you can actually download and they say, look, Myth of the Week, pencil sharpeners are now not allowed, and they go through all of these sort of like commonly known myths, which is hilarious.
And this is
I didn't
on the
find anything
site,
I needed for my festival, but it was a good hour.
We're talking about sort of local businesses here. I mean, the headquarters of HSE is only a matter of miles away, in Booth.
Of course, yeah.
And I've got to say, it is genuinely a fantastic organisation. It does some incredible works. The leadership is extremely good there.
I think the HSC had its urban myth of the fella turning up, the grey-haired old fella walking with a slide.
His clipboards. He has stripy pyjamas. He's got Marks and Spencer's Y fronts.
You've been that far?
I tell you.
We're coming back to the showers again now. Let's not go there.
But it is. And certainly, I mean, our approach in terms of the storm approach is one of pragmatism. It's going in first. It's absolutely business comes first. There's no messing around. Business comes first, in as much as it's a very, very pragmatic approach. And so if you had all the time in the world and you're looking at all the aspects in terms of all the risks, whether it be cosh, whether it be looking at it, whatever it might be, then that's fine. You've got time to do that. But the reality is you don't have time. So you do what we term elephants in rooms. And Elephants and Rooms is where you come into whatever activity. It might be the boat show, it might be whatever, it might be Sandport Rocks. And we cut to the big five risks that are in there. And it might be crowd, it might be noise, it might be drowning. Slips and trips. Drowning, that's a very good one for the boat show.
The boat, yeah.
It's just when we were having some conversations the other day and people were talking about raft races across the river and people swimming. I could see events management people thinking, oh my God.
We used to do a raft race in Chester, and you know what? It was the greatest fun on this earth. And I tell you, back then, and I'm talking 1842 or something like that, there was no... there probably was.
I mean, you can do it with, because you can...
Safety issues at all. Get in there, get wet, get to the pub. And that was it. In fact, I reckon half of the sailors were, get to the pub, get in there, get wet. And so they would drink when they go, you know, and
some of it's about personal responsibility as well, isn't
it? But it's common sense prevails, isn't it?
You know, there's a clue in the name, risk assessment. And this is what consultants moved to a stage where they didn't risk assess. All they did was try to risk mitigate to completely ground zero. And, well, that's not helping a client. So I can give a shopping list as long as you're armed with a huge resource bill and say, well, there you go, Roger. You do that and you'll mitigate all risk. Well, that's not the real world.
So I just remember, and this is what really irritated me about this whole health and safety thing. Probably 3 years ago, a guy was trying to, and it was on the news, it made Northwest Tonight. A guy was trying to pop a champagne cork. They were in a football stand. There was a crowd of guys around them, and the policeman said, "You can't do that. I can't let you do that." And it made it. Do you remember it?
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, "You know, I'm sorry. It's a health and safety hazard. You can't pop that champagne cork." Oh, come on.
It's taken it to the extreme.
But that's what I'm saying about it, people do take it to the extreme. And is it as extreme as I think it is?
It depends on the leadership of the organisation. And at the moment, I can understand why an organisation would say, right, we've got to have the risk assessments, we've got to have all this bureaucracy in place, not because they want to be bureaucrats at the end of the day, but because they're so terrified of claims.
Yes, yeah. Mm.
And that's because they... Yeah. Because, and
that's
what
a lot of money for organisations.
But that's why, Young's report was a very good report, and it comes out and it basically sort of counters the claims culture. They're trying to bring in claims now to make it more difficult for the nonsensical, stupid, financially driven claims. You know? And so, and the whole culture around sort of, where there's blame, there's a claim, or where indeed, and no win, no fee, and all of that sort of business. Yeah. They're countering that, which is a fantastic move.
But I know I joked about Frank McKenna and his paper cut before, but it does sometimes feel as though you can almost claim for anything these days. And some people do. I'm sure some people make a living out of it.
I mean, we support business. So we do a number of courses in order for business to counter claim. And so that's what we do. So in order for managers to identify what has to be in place for a genuine claim to hold. Mm. Once you know that, then you can put all accounts in place, because there's got to be loss. There's got to be either financial loss of an individual, or there's got to be loss in terms of physical or harm given to an individual. And cuts generally aren't, you know, a small sort of paper cut would not be deemed as being sufficient.
I'm pleased to report that the postman who lost his job from Royal Mail for not wearing his safety helmet, going from door to door, walking, that was...
I think
it's reinstated, but he won his case because is health and safety law gone mad. That's ludicrous.
The other thing that gets me, and we're running out of time, which is a shame because I could talk about this all day.
I've still got to inspect your fire extinguishers in the corner.
But it's colossal, the vast amounts of money that's paid out in the millions. You know, you hear on the reports on the television that such and such was paid £7 million because somebody upset him.
And I think people need to realise why this legislation was brought in. It was to protect people, whether it was appalling conditions, not really to punish, employers. It was to make sure generally a workplace was safe.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we have come to the end. I'd like to thank Councillor Wendy Simons for coming in and telling us all about the boat show and watch this space. Southport Rocks, just give us the dates again quickly.
8th and 9th of July, I'll see you there.
Okay, I'll be there, I'll certainly be there. In the showers.
I'll be there, but not in the showers.
And to Jonathan Cunningham for enlightening us about the everything that is safe and healthy in business. Once again, my name's Roger Jonas, standing in for Uncle Frank. As I say, he's probably still stuck in the mirror-lined lobby at work. Have a great weekend, or have a great Sunday, and don't do anything Frank wouldn't do.
Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm.